so many of us to come together with others of like precious faith, that we may worship and fellowship and study together. And we know that we are met in thy will, because thou hast admonished us so to do. We thank thee for the blessing that has already come to us during this convention and even this day. Now we pray thy special blessing upon our brother as he shall break to us the bread of life. May we hear with attentive minds and ears, and may his heart likewise be blessed. So we leave this meeting now in thy care, in Jesus' dear name.
Paul admonished Timothy that in the last days perilous times shall come. And our brother Murray of Columbus, Indiana, whose discourse we enjoyed so much yesterday, will speak to us on that topic, perilous times. Brother Murray.
Very glad to be with you again, dear friends, but I am somewhat reluctant to talk along the line I have in mind when I think of that wonderful talk by Brother Zanow. Nevertheless, what we have in mind is, we believe, very essential to all who have made a covenant by sacrifice, because the darkness is settling down around us more and more every day in every way, and it's getting more intense. As it was in Egypt, darkness that can be felt. So we can see the conditions around us today is similar to that. Yes, perilous times. This know that in the last days perilous times shall come. 2 Timothy 3:1. It is frightful to contemplate the rapid increase of crime all over the country today. When we pick up our newspaper, we behold the glaring headlines and perpetrations of some horrible crime against society. The enormity of the crimes keep pace with the rapid increase in population. One day a man shoots his wife, the next day a son stabs his father, a brother kills his brother for some slight difference of opinion, then a father murders his whole family. Common robberies and murders are of everyday occurrence. Forgery and swindling and speculation are carried on by the wholesale. Private homes, banks, and governments are indiscriminately robbed. Men of established reputation for business integrity suddenly disappear, taking with them large sums of money, the property of others. By perjury and other means, the nation is defrauded by large sums of money. Licentiousness prevails to an alarming degree. It appears as though Satan was let loose and was exerting himself to the utmost, knowing that his time is short. What is the meaning of all this? Are the last days really upon us? Is the present world society ripening for destruction? Look upon the face of society and behold how perfectly its features correspond with the ancient prophecies and also the prophetic statements of our Lord concerning the end of the world, end of the age. Surely that we are in the midst of decadent civilization. Yea, even as the Revelator informs us in Revelation 11:18, picturing the antitypical Sodom and Egypt, the Babylonian confusion that exists at the end of the gospel age. How can this be? Are not these times, in comparison with times past, especially favorable to a free and unlimited prosperity of the church? The time was when fire and sword, guillotine and the rack, were systematically used to exterminate the true saints of God. The Word of God was a book prohibited, and prison and dungeon awaited the diligent searcher of the Scriptures. But now, all are permitted to believe and teach, both in private and in public, whatever he believes to be the truth. What liberty and freedom we have today, yes. Yes, such are favorable conditions of our day. Never in all history of the church has there been a day of such privilege, of blessing. The spirit of liberty is now abroad in all the earth. Aristocracy, divine right of kings, and colonialism are all on the way out. But hand in hand with all this freedom and liberty lies ahead the church's greatest peril. For as the prophet Daniel informs us that this great increase in knowledge and the running to and fro will eventually bring about a great time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, known or ever shall be. Daniel 12:1-4. The prophet Isaiah also gives similar warning. Watchmen, what of the night? The watchman said, in reply, the morning cometh, and also the night. What a paradox. The morning cometh, and even in the morning there will be a night time such as never was. In the morning. And we're in the morning. Yes, indeed. And we're also in the night of this morning. The great time of trouble such as never was. Why are we in this predicament? Because our Lord, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is here, and he is exercising his power and authority in the tearing down and destroying of what has been and what is. Yes, the parable of the thief and the strong man. Now what is taking place? The thief, our Lord, comes in, unbeknownst to the strong man, and he begins to bind the strong man, and also begins to spoil his goods. Well, now then, in what sense has Satan been bound, we might say? He has lost his power and authority over the nations of earth, regardless of their respective governments. Democracy, aristocracy, and all these things. Satan at one time was the power of this world, the god of this world, the prince of the power of the air, and all these things. What's happened? The thief is interfering with that power and authority. And I like the statements made by our pastor along these lines when he said, our Lord exercised his power and authority first in raising the sleeping saints. And from that day to this day, our Lord, as the right hand of Jehovah, is exercising his power and authority in tearing down what Satan has had under his control up to this time. And our pastor tells us that the great time of trouble will be brought upon us because of the presence and the power of our Lord, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's a forepart of his power and authority, tearing down and destroying the things that stand in the way of his peaceful mediatorial reign. Yes, the spirit of liberty there at this time is greatly in danger. And the nations of earth who have been under colonialism are all receiving their liberty and freedom, and they don't know what to do with it when they get it. What will be the result if our Lord is not exercising his power in a way of peaceful arrangements, and the peoples of earth are demanding their freedom, their liberty, and Satan no longer is dominating over them as he did up to this time, then what will you have? Why, you will just have more anarchy. That's what we're drifting into more and more every day. And the Congo situation is a good illustration of what we'll have worldwide in due time. Now, why do we talk all along this line? Because we're in the midst of this dreadful atmosphere. Yes, but hand in hand with all this freedom and liberty lies ahead the church's greatest peril. For as the prophet Daniel informs us, yes, we'll be in this great time of trouble. Then the prophet Isaiah, continuing his thought, yes, while there will be peril, much peril for the world in these last days, this is not what concerns the church. The peril to them is this time of spiritual disturbance. Is everything calm and peaceful in the spirit realm among us today? Are we, like it says in the text, are we all loving one another with a pure heart, intensely? That's what fervent means, intensely. And as has been said from this platform, the great test today. We are now demonstrating the sterling quality of character. And only those who have that sterling quality of crystallized character will be able to stand in this day. Because of the perils, the evils that surround us. There never was a time when we needed a spiritual gas mask on, so to speak, to sift out all this terrible atmosphere that's surrounding us. And we can do that if we firmly trust him, come what may. We find it a strict divine rule of operation that all the faithful and approved in the unfolding of the great divine plan are severely tested to demonstrate their sterling quality of character. God will not trust the divine nature to anyone who has made that demonstration. And that demonstration will be through much peril, through tribulation. Yes, you will enter the kingdom. And only those who demonstrate this sterling quality of character will be those who stand upon the throne in place of before the throne. Yes, we find it's a strict rule. Yes, only the faithful through tribulation will be exalted. The flood, only 8 persons were saved in that condition. The Jewish age, only a few worthy, and the great mass were blinded, and they were baptized with fire and destruction of their national polity. And now we're in a similar condition when this whole order of things is to be destroyed, and only a few, mind you, will be approved and be accepted and exalted with our Lord. Only a few. Only a little flock. Yes, a little flock. Now then, now at the close of this gospel age, only a few are found to be approved. The saints, called out ones, the little flock, while the great mass, Christendom, Babylon, shall be overthrown like a great millstone cast into the sea, the restless, turbulent, anarchistic masses of society. Thus, with violence, shall the great city, government, Babylon, Christendom, be thrown down and shall be found no more. Won't that be a relief? Revelations 18:21 and 16:19 and 18:21. We are therefore admonished by the Lord to watch and pray. Watch and be sober. You know, some might watch, but they don't pray enough. And some might pray without watching. But you want to put the two together. Watch and pray, and also watch and be sober. And there was a time when we needed to be like that as today. And it's more needful every day. We're now undoubtedly in the end of this order. Watch and pray. There are many scriptural admonitions by both the Lord and the prophets to be on the alert against the many perils of these last days. And first, be not deceived. These are not meaningless words, but are really special prophetic warnings concerning the conditions that shall prevail in these last days of the gospel harvest. Note the great apostle Paul, admonition, "For I know that after my departure, grievous wolves shall enter in among you, not sparing a flock." The great papal powers, of course, primarily in the past, but now we have other delusions all around us, yes. The apostle, in his pleadings to the elders of Ephesus, now we're in a predicament just like that today. "Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn you, night and day, with tears." Now that was a predicament. And the apostle Paul was admonishing them to be awake. He says, "That's what I see." And he says, "With tears, I have admonished you." Acts 20, 28, 31. Then the apostle Peter also reminded the church of the things essential. Yes. And informs us that many who receive the truth, not in the real love of it, for this cause, God will send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie. What do you know about that? The snares and delusion will be so great today that people will believe things and they'll be convinced it's the truth, but it's a lie. That's right. A lot of lies being spread among us today, denying the loyalty of our pastor and what he has given us. That's right. You may believe a lie. Be on the alert, but you don't do that. Yes, may believe a lie. Yeah, a delusion is an error, which when viewed from certain standpoints of observation has the appearance of the truth. Remember, we are now being tried and tested, and the Apostle Peter tells us, though you know all these things, you may forget. So take heed, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. That means if you're established, you're not interested in anything that comes otherwise. You know what you believe and why you believe it, and you have an unction from the Holy One, and you all know it. You don't think you know it. Therefore, you're not interested in any of the propaganda that might come your way. Yes, a delusion is an error, yes. When one is deluded, therefore, they think that they are right. Just stop and think what Saul of Tarsus started out to do. He was going over to Damascus, and he was going to take care of that pestiferous bunch that was trying to destroy the traditions of his day, Judaism. I'll take care of them. God says, there's the material. That heart is right, but oh, how wrong that head is. And what did God do? He struck him to the ground. Then it took the great Saul of Tarsus about 10 years before God was able to put him in the ministry. You remember when Barnabas went over and sought him, and he went along with Barnabas. Well, it was about 10 years after he was stricken to the ground. And that powerful Saul of Tarsus, who had much of this world's goods at that time, was whittled down until he was just the little insignificant Paul the Apostle. He was powerful. Now he's the little Apostle Paul. Yes. Now you may have some among us today that are like that. Yes, they realize their power and pomp, all that. But take heed, watch and pray. Yes, watch and pray. Now we're told, yes, they are right in their own mind. But we recall the scripture. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, the way of selfishness and the way of the world, but the end thereof is the way of death, when persisted in. That's in Proverbs 16:20-25. Yes, there is a way. This seems all right to me, but that way of selfishness is unto death. The world today is full of delusions and of deluded people who barely think they are right and expect in due time to realize their delusive hopes. Their delusions may be of doctrine or conduct and ways of procedure. Various ways of having disagreement, yes. Who then shall be able to stand? Who then shall be able to ascend unto the hill, the kingdom of Jehovah? Or who shall stand in his holy place? Psalms 24:1-5, mark the answer. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. What a lovely combination. Everything that he does is motivated by a pure heart. Clean hand, pure heart, yes. All their works must be approved and done with simplicity and meekness, pure heart. Their whole purpose and endeavor is to glorify God and to bless their fellow men. Not to have my own way. Our Lord warns us that the delusions would be so subtle that if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived, deluded. Now, what do you know about that? These delusions are so subtle that if it were possible, even all would be deluded. What saves the faithful? Only the divine power. Our trust is in Almighty God. Yes. Though the earth be removed and the mountains be cast in the depths of the sea, we will not be moved. We will not be disturbed because we have put our trust in the Almighty. Yes. That is the condition before us today. Now then, all our works must be approved. Our Lord warns us further along this line, and these shall stand because they have on the whole armor of God and used it faithfully, Matthew 24:24 and Ephesians 6:3. We recall here that King Ahab had on his armor, all right, but a man drew a bow and smote Ahab, that he died. Why? Because there was just a little opening between the joints of the armor. And this arrow got right in that space. That was the end of Ahab. So it's one thing to have the armor on, it's another thing to have it properly adjusted. So see to it then that our armor is properly adjusted, so there is no opening any place for the adversary to shoot his fiery darts. We are also informed by the Apostle Paul that those of the elders in the church who have erred from the truth and become teachers of false doctrine shall be the church's greatest perils in these last days. That's right. Let us note the warning of the apostle. This know, really, realize, and take heed of false, of also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of pleasure. Yes, they'll be proud, petty, high-minded, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. You know, I used to wonder how disobedient to parents would be one of the marks of the last days. And now we see that it's the, shall we say, child delinquency? No. It's not the teenager delinquency, it's the parental delinquency. The lack of mothering and fathering is producing today one of the signs of the times. That awful state of mind that's in our teenagers today. And you ask some of these teenagers that commit some of these awful crimes, how come? Whatever possessed you to do such a thing? Huh? Something just told me. What is that something? My dear brethren, I'm convinced that that something is the power of the evil spirits. The lack of nurturing and tutoring of the young today is making the young people's minds open to the work of the great demons of our day. You know, they're having their last trial now. And in due time, they'll be done away with. But we are having them yet. They're on the last trial. Roundup. Now those that are still evil-minded, promoting all this evil in the world today, will be in due time obliterated. So the world won't have any trouble with them. When the mediatorial reign begins, there'll be no demons. They'll all be gone. Some will be reclaimed, as our pastor says. The holy angels and the rest of them will be destroyed. That's the end of them. Satan bound. Now, new order, yes. Let us continue with our thoughts. Yes, we want to have a little better translation of this passage, and this sounds a little better. Let us know the more correct, refined translation. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, selfish, covetous, boasters, proud, evil speakers, not of the same mind as were their fathers, devisers of new doctrines, unthankful, unkind, irreconcilable, false accusers, without self-control, not mild, not friendly, but to those who are good, they're heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, preferring their own will or pleasure to the will or pleasure of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power. That's a little better translation than the King James. But as the apostle states in Acts 20, 29 to 30, men of your own selves shall arise, speaking perverse things. What do you know about that? Men of your own selves, right in your midst, will arise, speaking perverse things. For what purpose? To draw away disciples after them. It don't make any difference, just so I have a following. Yes, I have a little following. That's fine. Some will have that state of mind. That's right. Yes, and but why, you ask, should anyone who had once received the truth desire to pervert it? Remember, we're told that these will pervert the truth. Why should anyone have a desire like that? That's what will happen amongst us. Pervert it, to draw away disciples after them. And in this way, they keep up the form of godliness, but deny the power. Power of godliness is oneness and unity. Love dwelling up in every heart meets a kindred response in every other heart. Yes, love intensely. That's the power of God. And the power of God today is transforming our old natures. Mind you, just think of it, into a state of mind and heart in which God can say, now, I see that sterling quality of personality, and I can trust that personality with my very nature. Life in here, the divine nature. That's the power of God. Yes, not to have a little following. That's the form of godliness, but denying the power. The extent of danger that surrounds us in these last days is indicated by the prophetic statement of the psalmist in describing the various snares of the last days. Chapter 91. In the detailed description of the perils, all that are enumerated here, we are informed that 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand. Did you ever stop to think what that means? That means in our days in which we're living, there'll be thousands that will cease to follow after righteousness. And what does it mean, that 10,000 at thy right hand? That right hand is those that are near and dear to you. And when you see those who are near and dear to you fall by the wayside, that will be of the 10,000. What will you do? Will you follow them? That's the question. Yes, 1,000 at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand. Fall by the wayside, the dearest and the nearest. Various perils here enumerated shall not come nigh thee if we firmly trust him, come what may. Remember, the morning resolve tells us the only safety, firmly trusting Jehovah God, our Father, and then nothing shall disturb us or upset us in any way. Yes, shall not come nigh thee, because thou hast made Jehovah thy refuge. Verse 7 and 9 of the 91st chapter. And now in conclusion. And now, dear brethren, let us watch and pray. Take heed, lest we forget those things which we have learned concerning the divine plan and the source of that information. And consider well the admonition of the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 3:8. Now as Judas and Jambres withstood Moses, so do those also resist the truth. And the medium through which the Lord spake to the people in these last days, how do we stand there? Are we still loyal to the knowledge we have received and the source of that information? Therefore, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of knowing of them. Thou hast learned, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. For it is written, they, the faithful, yea, the more than conquerors, shall all be taught of Jehovah. John 6:45. I thank you, and may the Lord bless you. In heaven, with whom is no variableness, neither a shadow of turning, hallowed be thy holy name. We thank thee that thou hast opened our eyes and ears, we're able to hear and understand the great high calling through Christ Jesus. And we thank thee that thou hast enabled us to make a covenant by sacrifice, to present our bodies living sacrifices, wholly acceptable unto thee. And we thank thee for the assurance that if we firmly trust thee, come what may, thou art able to supply all our need to such an extent that in due time we will be able to hear thy well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful in the little things. Come up higher and I'll make thee ruler over greater things. So therefore, we thank thee that we, if we firmly trust thee, will be meet for the inheritance of the saints in light in the end of our career, and we will feel thy loving arms around about us, and we will be satisfied when we awake in thy likeness. These favors we humbly ask in Jesus' dear name. Amen.